This is not uncommon, but you're wrong.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it is crossover time. Willard and Dibs in the house. One day after the 49ers beat the Cowboys 30-24. Thanks, buddy. Thoughts?
Good win. Victory Monday.
There you go.
Yeah.
Victory Monday.
I got something for Willard.
Call it like you see it.
Please.
Relief.
You okay?
Please. Relief. Okay. Relief that yeah. got, like, you had a great time, but it's like going to the water park. I'm a wonderful time on a hot day in the water slides, but then on the way to the car, you slipped and fell in the mud. Ruined your favorite shoes.
The mud, damn.
Well, you sprained your ankle. You sprained your wrist, too, probably.
Yeah. Too soon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was just unkind.
But anyway,
that's kind of, you know, like, if you want to just make it about yesterday, it was great.
Well, 4-4 is that's the title of the game.
You could only win one time yesterday, and they did.
Well, I'll tell you what. You guys didn't ask. I was at the game. I hid from the world because I wanted to watch the Warriors in its entirety.
What did you wear? When you went to
my cowboy gear.
Okay.
Me and the wife.
Okay.
Yeah. So, this is a tweet from Willard. I don't know if you've seen it, Dibs. This second half better look better, like a lot better. Alarms are set for 8:45 p.m. I love that. And they are going off if they don't get it together. So, my question was, I was gritted 12:20, like, how do you feel after they got the dub?
I sent that, and 10 minutes later, they scored 21 points in 4 seconds. So I was like, okay, now I feel better.
When Dallas had the ball, that was just, whoa.
The problem with 49er games this year is that you get in the fourth quarter and you're like,
how did we?
We've all moved on with our lives. What are you all still doing here? Like, you start getting snacks and having conversations with people.
Counting the dough.
Yeah, you go into chill mode. And the Niners do too, unfortunately. Dude. And that's a characteristic they have got to shake, because every single time they do it, we have to go back to the TV set and get all ramped up back again when, you know, well, I've already sent people to the showers.
3:05 left, Dibs. Dallas had all their timeouts. I couldn't. I was like, there's no way it's going to happen.
Wait, at the end of the game?
Yeah.
No, they didn't have any timeouts.
They had it when the Niners had the ball.
Right, yeah. But when they got the ball with 3 left, okay, they didn't. Right. But they still had 3 minutes, and they threw 4 bombs.
If you really want to look at it, it's 3:36 left, Niners ball, Dallas with all 3 timeouts.
Okay.
That, to me, is where things started to get a little bit wonky, so to speak, because Kyle went, try to throw, scramble, timeout, try to throw, get sacked, almost fumble, timeout.
Dude.
Do throw to Juszczyk, complete, timeout. Now you got a punt, and the Niners took a grand total of 31 seconds off the clock.
Wow, man.
And that's where, if you want to rip Kyle, and not really rip him like he's got to go, but that for me felt a little bit like, Kyle, what are you doing, bro?
Wow.
You run it, they use their timeout, you run it again, you run it again. Guerrero has been pretty amazing. You talked about his 100-yard dash, or 100-meter, rather, in high school, 3-time state champ and the rest of it, and yet you went throw, throw, throw. That, for me, felt a little bit like Kyle trying to do too much.
Tough to disagree. I mean, you got to.
Then why do you think he's passing?
Because he thinks the Cowboys are going to play the run.
Yeah, I think that what we've sort of been conditioned to see through the years in the NFL is in those situations, you run the ball because you're supposed to. The other team knows you're going to run the ball, and almost always they stop you. And you use their timeouts. That's great, but you don't get a first down and end the game. Mm. And I think that when you look, it's no different than why he went for it on 4th and 3 in the first half. I think he thought there are openings all over this defense.
I don't blame him for
that. And we should be able to complete a 5-yard pass when we want. Now, they didn't. They didn't twice. Guerrero missed a block, go back to the first half. Purdy throws it behind Debo.
Yep.
Not a good throw. Also could have been caught. Not a good catch.
Right.
I'm going to give him.
A drop. Not a drop.
No.
But the great ones have a drop, when I hit their hands.
He did it, yeah.
Like Jerry Rice.
Like 10 minutes later.
CeeDee Lamb, that catch he made.
Oh, man. It was some gorgeous catches.
He dives forward and does a somersault at the 5. Yeah. That was amazing.
Sometimes you can just look at everybody and go, none of you did good there.
Right.
Yeah, not a good throw, not a good non-catch.
Right.
So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that because I tend to not mind aggression in those situations where you feel you've got an edge on who you're playing and you can just end the game right now. But the Niners are, you know, they're still not executing. They're still not executing at their highest level by any stretch.
Dibs, let me ask you about Garendo and Mason and the way the 49ers offensive line blocks, maybe midfield versus down at the end zone. Do you see a difference like between those two? And, you know, Mason struggled in the red zone. What does Garendo do differently that may make him struggle less in the red zone?
I think he's a little faster. And I do think that Mason's red zone struggles are a little bit more of a byproduct of what the team has been doing in the red zone, where he's been running on obvious run situations. And I'm looking at the Garendo touchdown out of the locker room, first and goal at the 4. So that still feels like a run pass option there for Garendo, and he's able to get it and go right through and score. And also yesterday, I do think that Mason was playing not only hurt, yeah, and now he's hurt again. And if you watched him run earlier in the year, he was running with shoulder square, looking for people
collisions
to inflict. Yeah. Exactly. And yesterday it was a lot more of you get to the hole and it was a little bit of a turn and a little bit of a resignation sensation. Yeah. To the reality that he was hurt and that he was probably going down.
You know, similar to, we did this with a different Jordan. What's my guy's name on the San Francisco
Michael.
Giants? No. The guy, the pitcher.
Jordan Love.
No. The guy.
Jordan Elliott.
The reliever who they made a starter. Why am I blanking on my man?
Jordan.
Hicks. Thank you, Mark, for thinking of that. All right, anyway, Jordan Hicks.
Thanking himself.
I got three blank stares in here.
I looked at Evan, and he was off mic. And
Jordan Hicks, and Dibs, you were on this throughout the whole year. You're like, this guy's never pitched this amount of innings.
Right.
I got to think halfway through the year, he's going to run out of gas. And we got halfway through the year, and what happened? Mm. Ran out of gas. Yeah. Jordan Mason's never been a starter, not even in college. So, like, when he had that quote, go back to game one.
It was a lot of work.
Right? Well, when he went over to Christian McCaffrey after the Jets game and goes, you do this every week? I can't believe you do this. And so I thought even last week, look, the Chiefs are a really good defense, but he looked hesitant.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because it hurts.
And he was on the ground for a minute last night to back up you. That thing is barking.
I don't know if it's because it hurts or if it's because the whole body is just out of gas or whatnot. But, yeah, he looks like he needs a break. And so the bye week is perfect for Jordan.
All right. A couple things I wrote down here. I'll throw them to you guys. I like the run. I think that was their perfect, in an ideal world, run-pass ratio. 36 rushes, 28 passes. If the game's going well, I feel like that's what they'd like to do. Have that kind of ratio. And I'm just wondering how much you think it might have been a function of being up for a good chunk of the game. Well, not a good chunk of the game until the second half. But what did you guys make of that?
I tell you what, I think this is not going to be a popular answer. I just think we get so overwhelmingly triggered by play calling. And I think that there are multiple options every time a quarterback comes to the line of scrimmage. In fact, we're told that the 3rd and 10 run, which was a head scratcher to all of us, was potentially something that Brock optioned to. Ooh. Now, you could say, why even give him the option? But I don't get too deep into the minutia of play calling unless something looks really out of whack. I liked what you said earlier, Goo. For example, 3rd and 5 opening drive.
And, oh, my gosh.
And you hand the ball to your backup fullback. That's the Cowboys who did that.
Yeah, Lipke.
I was like, that's what's his last name? Lipke?
Yeah, Lipke.
You handed it to Lipke?
Yep.
That was
coming off a bye. That's what you up with.
That was, and Kyle had a few of those. Dibs, I agree with you in terms of like it's 2nd and 3. You're trying to run the clock out. Maybe try Garendo right there. Outside of that, I don't get into the whole play calling thing because we don't really know exactly what was called. And we don't know what was checked to. And we don't know if option 1, 2, or 3 happened out there. Unless something looks amiss, go to the Green Bay playoff game. They only threw it 8 times. Then I can go, all right, there's a narrative that builds there. But, I mean, the premise you threw out there, Steiny, I'll agree with that. That probably feels like the split you get when the offense is doing what you want it to do, and you score 30 points, and you win.
How about the non-pass interference call on Conley on the Kittle touchdown?
Two flags were thrown. We've been waiting on you, Dibs. Two grown men threw the flag
and
picked it up.
Terry McAuliffe.
It looks like the defender, one, steps in front of the receiver trying to run a route, and second, the other defender engages him and kind of rides him into him right here. So this is not offensive pass interference. This was correctly picked up.
Now, Collinsworth, I don't know if you were watching the broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Watching it again this morning.
Yeah, Collinsworth said something like, well, I'm not saying you're wrong, but if that's okay, maybe we'll start seeing more stuff like that.
Right, and Collinsworth in this case is wrong, and McCauley is absolutely right, because when you watch it, and I don't really think that the defender pushed Conley into the other defender, but I do see the defender stepping in front of Conley, and he has the right to run a route. So, yes, it's a pick play. And is Conley going to pick him? We'll never know, because the defender stepped in front of Conley before Conley even had a chance to go out and pick him. So, forget whether or not he was pushed into him. I don't think that he was, but Conley has the right to run his route. And if that defender wants to jam him and get in his way, he can, but it doesn't mean it's a pick.
Okay.
Because Conley's running his route.
But this is what fascinates me. Two men of the three ref threw the flag. I'm just asking you, they didn't hear that audio by Terry. What goes into two guys saying, like who came with the truth to make them say that wasn't a pick?
Well, they huddled. I think that they huddled, and the referee, the head ref, probably asked him.
That's what I'm looking for, the head ref.
Right, and he probably said, did you see the receiver intentionally seek contact on that play? And they probably both said, no, you know, I didn't really see him go out of his way to seek out the defender. Conley's just trying to run his route, and the defender gets in his way. That's what I saw, and I'm glad they picked it up, because for me, that wasn't a classic pick. Right. Where you see a receiver, like, clearly looking for the defensive back just to try to get a piece.
I thought the Niner pick play was even more effective, where you have two DBs just take each other out.
Oh, yeah, that works.
I didn't see that, Doug.
Yeah, then let CeeDee Lamb have the whole TV to himself. I'm like, my God. Like, can you, right?
But
can
there was an explanation after I saw it. I didn't see it at the game. Yeah, like, you knocked each other off.
There's an explanation. They're rookies.
Man.
They're rookies.
What do you put those two drives on? The prevent defense, or how did Dallas all of a sudden? Because I was sitting there shocked. Like, let's go. Didn't leave.
First one didn't bother me because, Dibs, you've got the drive charts. Yeah. How long did the first one take?
It took about 6 minutes.
Okay, so when you take 6 minutes off the clock and then it becomes, I guess, what, 27-17?
Yeah, down 10.
At that point.
With 8 minutes left.
With 8 minutes to go. But you took almost half the quarter off the clock. That's the definition of prevent defense. You might give up a touchdown, but we took half the quarter. The next one's the one that bothers me. The Niners go get a field goal.
Right.
And Dibs, the next drive lasted
54 seconds.
54 seconds. Man.
Big pass interference, though, right?
Okay.
No, that was the previous one.
Yeah, that's not. That's,
this one was Zeke for zero, and then Lamb goes 21, 29, and 20.
Damn.
Wop, wop, wop. Three passes for 70 yards.
That's not okay.
The last one was the pick play.
And now we could stop you if we do, and they did, to get the ball back, which I couldn't believe.
That's what I'm saying. I've already sent a kid to the shower. I'm getting a snack. I'm cleaning up because I set up a whole home studio last night.
Look at him.
Different than I normally do for the Sunday night show, because I'm like, I'm not missing these games.
Yeah.
So I took it upstairs, put the two TVs out, both the games on, told the kids, you need to shut up because we're doing a show up here.
Yeah.
And so you got to watch quiet. And I started cleaning up. We're putting the desk back. We're taking the other TV back downstairs.
And now
I've got to go focus on this again. Very frustrated.
He didn't complete a pass.
Very frustrated.
They should have threw a pick.
I got my father-in-law over Sunday night dinner, which is great. And Pop and I, we had a lovely night. And I'm thinking, okay, 30-17. Maybe we can slowly scoot him toward the door. We got bath time is going on upstairs. And the Pinot Noir has been drank.
Oh, good for
I'm into Eraser 5, and I'm ready to settle into my Sunday night. And then Dallas goes 4 plays, touchdown, and now he's got to stay. And Pop, I love you. I know you're listening. You're always welcome at our house, but I was thinking that maybe we could have an early ouster.
Man.
It was a great night. Rock shrimp burgers and everything went great. And all of a sudden now, the Niners, They give the ball back.
And that's where I was surprised. I'm like, Dallas, you ain't getting it back. Enough's enough. And they got it
and
back.
And they got it back.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, what it did, 3 minutes left.
This is kind of sometimes because we're all emotionally involved and I'm beyond distracted. So I try to stay off the phone during the game. Mm. I try to stay off the phone. But this is the arc of kind of like, this is my sister and my parents. They will text because we're each other's emotional support group. And so early in the game, obviously these texts were not good. Right? My sister at 6:21, this team is bad for my health. My parents immediately respond, we agree. And I wrote, because I was in an angry moment, and this doesn't happen often. I said, this team is bad, end of sentence. This is when, look, no touchdowns in the first half against the Cowboys, right? And then my sister says, so many problems, Kyle better start worrying. Then it gets quiet because the second half starts.
Yeah.
Everybody puts
their
feet up. A kickoff
that didn't get to the 20 and the air dibs at the 40.
But then 8:27 p.m. comes and my sister goes back to the phone.
Let's go to the phones.
Our defense is so bad. Why is CD always wide open? See, that's the text we don't need. You were up by 3 scores. We were getting kids ready for bed.
Yeah, yeah.
On a Sunday night.
The dogs were called off.
We don't need that. And the Niners have a clear issue with that. As soon as we think you won, so do you.
And Seattle came back from 20 to have the ball with a chance.
And then they put the graphic up. I'm sorry, Steiny. Go ahead. Do your thing.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
That's they put the graphic up of the Niners have blown 2 10-point fourth quarter leads and the rest of the league has 2 combined. When they put that up, I thought, oh, Casey Schmidt.
Now that is wow.
Right there.
Yeah.
And that's heavy.
Heavy. Heavy
got
duty.
Two of them.
And I do think that, and this is something we'll get into as the show goes on, but it comes down to complementary football where the defense is going to play prevent, and that's okay. You're not preventing them from scoring. You're preventing them from scoring right away. And the first drive, you slow them down. They finally score. Okay, fine. 27-17. We get it. You were going to score. Yeah. CD's really good, and we kind of were letting you have your way. Fine, we're going to get the ball back, and this is where we pillow over the face. We will suffocate you. It should have been a suffocation sensation, but it wasn't because you kicked a field goal. Now it's a 13-point game, and so you should try and do the same thing again. Prevent, slow them down, and that's when they went 4 quick plays, and they score, and now you're thinking, uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, all that said,
4-4.
The Niners beat the Cowboys
on
Sunday Night Football.
Yep.
In a game that they absolutely had to have, and Dallas needed it even more. You know, you look at their division and their situation. Yeah. Dallas is probably dust.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you look, like the thing that I wrote down here is it was a must win.
Yes.
Essentially.
I thought so.
And who helped you win?
I've been saying it all week.
Garendo, Pooney, Pearsall, Mustafa, Green, Cowan.
Yeah.
Those are 6 rookies.
Yep. Yeah, draft.
And this is a team that still has Super Bowl aspirations. So if these guys can help you stabilize right now, that's all you can really ask for.
I do think you
can.
Yeah, you can come out of yesterday with a couple of thoughts that I think are meditative, if you will. Kyle Shanahan, it's now November. I mean, it's not today, but when the Niners play again, it'll be November. Kyle Shanahan
27-4.
Is incredible in November and December. They made it to the bye, at least tied for first place. And when we see them again, there is a reasonable chance that at least in the next handful of games, if not the next game, you're going to have Christian McCaffrey, you're going to have Juwan Jennings, you're going to be rested. There might even be a There might be a Dre Greenlaw. And by the way, you also need to make at least one trade.
Yeah.
You need to acquire somebody on the defensive line to stop the run.
Now, you had receivers last week.
I would like a receiver
Dante
as
Johnson
well.
Off the board.
I would like a receiver as well. However, Pearsall is...
Oh, I like what I saw.
Pearsall's good, and Jennings coming back, but you're still one injury away. Wow. I mean, Debo gets hurt, it feels like, every game.
Man.
In some
and that
way,
was
shape,
a rib.
Form.
Like, man.
You know, so it's like, I would love for them to go get Diontae Johnson. But alongside of that, yes, they need an interior defensive lineman to help stop the run, because I don't think they're a playoff winning team unless they plug that hole. Mm. So I would love to see all of those people in uniform when the Niners next play.
Let's see what else. I didn't think Purdy got in on the sneak after the review.
It was close.
It looks like
you might have been right.
Yeah.
You might have been
right. It was a classic.
I just saw it like this.
Classic, just the tip moment.
Okay,
because for just a second, which is
as you know, Steiny,
too close to overthrow or over.
Yes, and you just need the tip of the ball to be across the front end of the end zone.
I get you.
And so, in real time, they call it good. And when you look at it, I don't know if you can overturn it. So it becomes one of those ones where you just give it to him.
I got to switch this up. What down was that, by the way? Wasn't that early in the? I mean, they're just going to go in on the next play.
Yeah. It wasn't.
That was
it
third and two down. At the two.
It was third down.
And two. Yes, okay. It was.
Well, you would have taken right, three well, there.
I don't know. No.
Well, I got to tell you this.
Anyway, what's
how many minutes we got, Steiny? You don't
as
control
much
the clock
as you want.
Because I got a funeral. I'll be out tomorrow, so I got to ask you this. Oh. You got Kerr today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 5:00.
I hid from the world to watch the Warriors, who I thought were going to just obliterate the Clippers. That's my fault. I love the 2-0. But where you at on Steph concern? Like, I didn't like that. I know Steiny's like, oh, you're used to it. I didn't like he hopped the second time. It happened twice.
Yeah. I'm at like a 4 because it's only game 3. And so if you want to look at 82 games of Warrior basketball and you want to think about the chef, considering his ankle issues, his knee issues over the course of his career and his age, if he can give you 60 games of 82, if you can say, you know what, Steph, can you give us 60 and no fewer? You might get more, but if you could guarantee 60 games from the chef, you'd take
no doubt.
At 36 years old, right?
Here's my answer.
Okay.
I am less concerned about Steph's ankles than I am about Kaminga's 3-point shot.
And that, man, it's real.
I don't
want to just go too far with it, but something seems to be reading or telling Warrior fans that not he doesn't fit, but there's something off, man.
Listen, I'd feel like it was being small sample size Steve if I didn't already feel this way from the last 2 years. You can tell in the NBA when someone gets the ball at the 3-point line and the defensive players start running the other way.
That
means you can't shoot.
Okay.
And he can't shoot from out there.
All right.
He never has been able to shoot from out there.
No doubt. And Draymond didn't finish the game last night. It bothered me.
Unless you do things like, unless you're a Draymond or someone like that who does all kinds of other stuff.
Man, it's real, man.
Like no, you don't get $250 million if you can't shoot a three if you're a wing in the NBA.
Yeah,
don't get that. Yeah.
We got a special announcement. If you do the honors.
Yeah, so earlier in the show, anybody who's listening in hour number 3, Odyssey App, all that good stuff, knows that Steiny had a little trouble during one of the breaks with one of the coffee mugs. And so our boss, Matt Nahegan, has prepared an official 95.7 The Game statement that he would like me to read on air to Matt Steinmetz.
Okay.
Matthew, I wanted to express my extreme disappointment in your actions today. Breaking an Odyssey coffee mug in the kitchen shows your complete disregard for property that is not owned by you. Not only that, if you just left it sitting on the ground in 100 pieces, you left it for someone else to clean up. At some point, I'm hoping you have a little more respect for work property and the employees you work with. The mug is approximately $5 and will be taken out of your next check. Looking forward to discussing your completely rational behavior after the show today. Sincerely, Matt Nahegan, brand manager, 95.7
The Game. Oh, boy. Yeah, you guys missed it, man.
Yeah, try it.
There it is. Look at it.
You got served.
Dibs, he took off a handle to a mug. Lou Ferrigno, the real one.
I mean, I don't get it.
Let me know when you guys are done.
Was this purposeful? I have questions.
I have a lot of questions because I wasn't in on the bit.
Yes.
It was an accident.
Was I.
Yeah.
Well, if it's an accident, then it's an accident. But did you leave it for someone else to clean up?
Oh, boy.
I don't.
Mark, make it wow.
I know.
I don't understand what's going on.
I'm just here to.
He got a coffee cup earlier in the show, and somehow the handle came off.
Here's one thing that's easy to understand. I'm leaving now. On 95.7 The Game.
Did you want me? I'll text you.
Text you.